Alrighty. We're back. Clearly. Did we take a... No, we didn't take a buffer. I don't remember if we did. No, we didn't. Because we have one in the bank. The episode is releasing this week of this recording. It is last week's. When we talk about Tekken 8. Anyway, an update on that. I did finish all the character stories. And I enjoyed playing with a lot more characters than I thought I was going to enjoy with playing.
Mm-hmm.
I sure looked up his name. Before we get into it, sorry, this is the ADLR podcast. I'm Anthony, clearly. Here with Brian. And Randall. And we're talking a little bit more Tekken before we move on. What's that guy's name that has like that super suit? He has white hair. It's not Claudio.
Lee.
Is that his name?
White hair and he's flashy.
I don't know. He has like
dude with a gun and sword.
No, that's Victor. He's always like hunched over. Let me look it up before I embarrass myself.
Is he a pretty boy?
I don't know.
All right, because this is very important that you say the correct character.
Okay, Tekken 8 characters.
The new Tekken characters?
I'm not gonna know that either, Brian or Randall. Remember, I just jump in to hit buttons. I don't. Give me a second. I'm so sorry. I'll figure out his name in a sec.
Are you talking about Lee?
I'm going to double check if that's it. I don't have a picture to... Where is he?
Does he bounce up and down?
He might. Like,
you're asking him the same things that I just asked.
It is correct. You guys are both correct. It's Lee.
That's very funny, Anthony, because that's what I've been playing.
No, I don't like him. I was going to say.
You don't like him?
No.
That's very funny, because that's what I've been playing.
Not that I don't like him. It's just he's not... He seems like a harder character to learn because I tried doing, you know, simple combos like punch one to two or something, like, you know, just face button combos. Mm-hmm. Nothing. And he don't got much unless I just didn't figure it out. Like, he'll have like a 1-2, like a couple hits, like a, you know, two hit and then maybe end it with like a kick. I haven't looked at his move list, so I could just be talking to complete bullshit. But him, he felt stiff to use. I don't know why.
He's technical.
That explains it, because I'm like, man, it's hard for me to chain together some stuff, and I'm like, this guy might not be for me. But there was like, but on the opposite, I mentioned him earlier. Claudio was an easy fit in my hands because he has
a friend of mine. Man,
yeah, that was a fun one. Who else was fun? Oh my god, Lars was fun. I don't know why. He had some easy buttons for me, like easy little chains and stuff. I thought he was an easy pick. Who else? Oh, Randall, I did see Steve's. Heavyweight build, if you will.
Yeah.
Holy shit, dude. I'm like, because as the video was going, spoilers, I guess, because it's not even canon, right? Those stories aren't canon?
No.
Okay. Well, it's him winning multiple championship, and each picture, I'm like, is he getting thicker? And the one before the heavyweight one, I'm like, no, he's definitely getting thicker because he was like massive on the latest picture. And I'm like, yeah, he would be looking good in that. And then... It got so ridiculous. He's as big as, like, I don't even know how to compare it. Like, he's as big as some of the workout equipment.
Who was that?
Steve's. But Steve felt really good, but I didn't know that most of his kick buttons are, like, evasive stuff. So I'm like, oh, I have to get used to that, because I like this, you know. Before Steve, I was playing Miguel and stuff, and he had, you know, kick combos and... You know, punching to kick combos and stuff. So when I started hitting buttons for Steve to see what feels comfortable, I'm like, oh, every time I hit kick, it's to do you know, some evasive maneuvers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and also I see why you like Reyna, Randall. She also has some easy buttons for me. Like, she felt really nice to easy to pick up. I don't know, not to master, obviously, but and I did the thing you were talking about, the fucking moving around. Wow.
Their fucking stanza three where she was.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, so this is what he was talking about. Because I accidentally got her to do that, and I'm like, okay, so what the hell did I press? And then
either down in three or back in three.
Yeah. That was the same with what other character? Yoshimitsu. If you hit back and like left kick or something, he'll go forward or like forward into the Z, and then if you hit the back and the other kick button, he goes towards the screen.
And he spins. He goes really fast.
Yeah, and he like teleports or something. Or
every time you do that, you take damage.
I did not notice that. I was just like, oh, I thought I was clean with it. I'm like, every time the AI would try to hit, I'm like, nah, bro, over here. And I didn't notice that my health was going down.
You can die from it.
You can or can't?
I think so.
Yeah. Oh, then I cannot pick Yoshimitsu. That's clear then. Who else? I forgot the list. But I mean, I spent, I don't know, I think it was Saturday. Yeah, well, what's it called was down. Helldivers was down. I was like, let me just go through and finish up a bunch of these character stories. You only get an achievement up to like 10 of them. So I finished all of them, didn't even get an achievement. So I'm like, great. But I at least got my hands on with the characters. And there's a lot more people. I don't mind getting on random, if that makes sense. There's some characters I'm like, there's no way in hell I'm going to do anything if I get them on random. I forgot which one was it. There was a character I'm like, there's no, Lee being one of them. I'm like, if I get him on random, there's no way I'm going to win the match. I have no idea how to use him.
I did a whole session trying him on Friday because I liked him in 7, but I didn't play too much 7. Mm-hmm. And out of the 4 characters I had interest in, he was the last for me to try before trying to narrow it down. And I think I'm going to, because Zafina, the way that I like to play her, it seems like she's not that good at it anymore.
Oh.
Me kind of being able to do what I used to do with her on top of crazy fucking movement, I think I might be committing to Lee for a while.
As a huge casual player, I pray for anyone who has to fight Zafina. I'm using her and I'm like, how do you know what's coming next? Like, cause she can like contort and like, she's like, what's her name from Soul Calibur? The flexible dude.
Baldo.
Yeah. That's what she reminds me of. Cause she's like, she can get super low, hit like, and then like twist her thing like this. So she can still like hit you, but you have, your mids are not going to connect at all.
They'll hit, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. What was I going to mention? And they use the lady you hate. The one that sniffs her ankle or whatever. And
oh, Xiaoyu?
Yeah, I did it immediately. And I'm like, oh, this is what he was talking about. And she gets like super low to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fucking can't stand her ever. Yeah, Lee, Zafina's still baby girl. Since I played her quite a bit in 7, she still feels like I know her buttons, at least her solid ones. So I'll be playing her, but I want to spend more time Lee primarily.
I'm going to look through the list real quick to see who I liked. I didn't like Leo as much as I thought.
Leo,
sorry. Oh, you know who felt really nice?
Mm.
Lily felt really nice in my hands.
Didn't she play here at one point in like an older Tekken?
I might have, but her moveset was, I'm like, okay, this sits comfortable with me. I don't like either Kuma or Panda. I didn't enjoy playing as them. Their stories at the end were really funny though. Like Kuma in space, like he thought he won the tournament and then wakes up to what's her name bodying him. He's like, oh, okay. That was a fun one. Fang felt nice too.
Mm.
I liked Fang. Victor is Marvel when I was playing. Because I was hitting buttons and I was hitting combos. I'm like, I don't know how am I doing combos? I'm just hitting regular face buttons. He's like teleporting between, like, to the other side. Like his grab, not his grab. Was it his grab? Teleports him to the other side. So if you want to like purposely put somebody, well, I guess everybody could do that. Everyone has a grab.
Quarter circle forward, 2 of them.
Yeah, the gunshot. Okay, when I found out, I'm like, when I found out about that move, I made sure to end each fight with just pulling out and shooting the person.
There was a strong content. I still have somewhat of an interest because of gun, but his sword is just what I don't care for.
He has some cool combos though, with like swapping between like the little dagger he has and then like the huge sword. I don't know. You know, the animations for like his combos were really dope.
It's a little too Noctis for me.
Gotcha.
I was hoping I wish they just gave him a pistol and then like a knife, and it's just that. That's what I wish they did.
Oh, and of course, the most one of the satisfying stuff is playing as King. Holy shit! I don't know any of his grabs, but I know I can do a quick, easy grab if they're in the air. So I would purposely hit him with like the and grab him, and I'm like, yep, that's still satisfying. I don't know any other combos to continue it. Like, you know how you can go from like grab to grab. I was just hitting button to see what felt comfy. And
did you ever do the Jaguar dash where he goes and then he runs at him?
Yeah, but I missed. The guy moved out of the way and I hit a button and I just looked like an idiot on the stage.
Do you know what the grab looks like though?
No.
Out of that, he RKOs and it's the most hype fucking shit ever.
Oh, so if you hit
and go in the air, yeah, it's.
So if you hit that like a real match, you're probably You probably think to yourself, I already won.
A friend of mine mains King. And when I see that it connects for that animation, I'm on his side. I want to lose.
Oh, I see. You're rooting for the other team to beat your ass.
That and the power bomb when you combo and then you do the running one with the person. I'm against me. I'm my own op.
Gotcha.
When I see that happen.
My favorite part of playing Nina is her art, her special art, where she like dives at the person spinning, shooting.
Smash.
Yeah. I did that as often as I could. I'm like, you're literally killing people in the mid combo and they're still getting up.
She's fun as well. But it's kind of like, for me, her and Lee are on the same coin. We're like, I like their movement and they have good key. Lee has better key power. She has good just whiff punishing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm leaning more towards Lee because it's more a little more defensive and pokey. But she has a gun.
She does have a gun. The other person I just did not enjoy playing as, Leroy. Leroy?
Leroy.
I didn't like playing
as T-Pain?
Yes.
It's funny, as T-Pain cosplayed him once.
Oh, okay. I got to look it up. Did he look like he did a good job with the cosplay?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I just did not like playing as him. Brian felt great because he's aggressive and, you know, I like hitting buttons.
Did you ever laugh when he laughed?
No.
Okay.
No, because remember we had the conversation last week about the laughter, and now when I heard it when I played as him, I'm like, okay, I hear it was better before.
I just wanted to see if that's how I would know if he was potential main fish. If you laugh when he laughs.
Oh no, I do. I mean, I like when he laughs. I'm like, oh, he is maniacal. Like he looks maniacal. He acts maniacal. Like his attacks are aggressive. Like he's the complete package of maniacal. But yeah, Lily was up there for me. Really enjoyed playing as Lee for some reason. Steve is still up there. Once I got used to like, hey Anthony, you're supposed to be using just the top two buttons. I don't know, but is it punches? Is it just light and heavy punch or left and
it's
right?
It's one and two. Okay. One is left hand, right is two is right hand.
Yeah, once I remember, I have to keep in mind when I'm playing as Steve, your money makers are one and two. And then once you want to learn how to be defensive, maybe put in what's it called?
Yeah, but once you do back three, when you do the sway and you see it whiff, that shit get that. When I used to play Tekken Tag with Randall, just doing that, and if I block something, I won that round in my head.
I tried to, once I found out that button, I'm like, let me see if I can land one of those, right? I guess I don't know why, but like I don't know who I fought with Steve. It might have been the second or third match. I'm like, oh, once I found out, I'm like, let me see if I can land it. They stopped doing eyes. They were just like hitting me right in the stomach as I'm doing this, going backwards. Like, I'm not going to catch an AI slipping. So I stopped. But that's all I have on the update. I did finish the characters. Oh, go ahead. You have a question?
No, so give me your top three.
Let me open up the list I had of characters that
give me your Tekken Marvel team.
Oh, definitely Steve, man. Even hitting regular punches with Steve, I'm like, I'm a fucking boxer, bro, right?
Oh.
Steve, I had a lot of fun. Lily's close second. Like, it's Lily I really enjoyed playing. And then, and Lars as my third, I think. There was something, like, so easy to pick. Like, I don't know if he's supposed to be, like, the new easy-to-pick-up character or...
He's pretty shoto-y.
He's pretty shoto-y? Then that might be why. Because he was really easy to pick up. I had fun. So those would probably be my top three, I guess. Steve, Lily, and Lars, bro. I would never... If you would ask me that 2 years ago, I'd be like, where's Miguel on this list? But best believe, if they add Miguel, I'm getting it.
They took one Hispanic out for another.
What was the... Azucena? Azucena, mm-hmm. Yeah. She's the coffee girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta... Oh, every time I can. Dragunov's swag is... There's no one matching it in this. He's just, and I'm like, that guy's ready to, war.
I just wish it was gun.
I like the fingers because it, I don't know why. It's just swag. It was just the fingers.
Can I tell you, a friend of mine made him look like Abraham Lincoln, a shirtless Abraham Lincoln. So when he did this, it looked like.
Yeah, you did. You did. I think me and Randall were just looking at it on my phone. They added, with the character customization, they added all the Capcom people, or Resident Evil people.
I made Leon with Lee.
Was it Lee they made it with?
Did it with Lars.
It was Lars. Yeah, it was Lars as Leon. They made two with, who was it? It was Krauser and someone else with one character. Oh,
Brian, I'm assuming.
I don't remember, Randall, if you remember as well, but.
They made Ada Bong with Nina. And it looks
It looks really good. I think I saw that one, and I forgot.
Asuka, I think they turned into what's her name? Ashley. I think it looks pretty accurate.
Oh, okay. It's a good customization there to make other characters. I know, but I mean, it, from what they made, I'm like, you might hate it, but you people putting work in it. That's all I got to say about Tekken, unless you guys have anything else to add.
I'm still enjoying it. I've only been playing with friends. I haven't gone into casual or ranked at all. Guys,
main man, Randall, we can hear audio. What are you doing?
I'm looking for something I wanted to share with you guys. I didn't realize the video was just going to start playing.
It always starts playing, right? Unless you're playing, unless you're on Firefox. Firefox stops
videos. No, I didn't go to the actual video. I went to their page. And then there's a video at the top that I forgot automatically starts playing if you go to someone's profile.
Oh, like a welcoming, like a welcoming video.
The person that you're watching, I can't take serious because Aeris, avoiding the puddle, uses his name as a meme. I can't take him seriously anymore.
But is he like a bad person or?
I don't remember what started the meme, but the way that he makes like his like, the way he jokes about it is that like, don't fucking listen to him.
Okay.
The few times he'll like restream a tournament's going on.
Yeah.
Like if they announce a character or something, like the first thing he'll say is like, what does main man think about this? And he starts laughing.
Damn, that's messed up. Did you already share the video, Randall? No? All right.
No, I'm trying. It's a it was just a character popularity thing.
Who's the most popular?
Oh, for the higher ranks.
It was just showing
whoops.
The characters that people are using the most so far.
In higher ranks.
I don't know if it's higher ranks or not.
I'm telling you it's higher ranks.
Who's on? There's no web page with this information? It's a video?
It's a video, and I mean he's looking at a page in the video, but I thought maybe he would have a link to it.
I can send it to you.
You know exactly what he's looking at, bro?
It's the chart, the bar graph.
Yeah.
All right, that's enough. Players. Brandon, did you start doing ranked yet? I know you said you were gonna do practice. Okay. Not even online casuals? You still in the lab?
No. I'm still trying to learn combos. Like when I said I have to relearn how to do Kazuya all over again, I wasn't.
You weren't joking?
Yeah. They changed the way his combos are.
They changed the way that.
Like the way they used to be.
Oh, well. Okay, looking at this character popularity chart, we have Dragunov at max. I'm telling you, that swag is no joke, Brian.
It's pretty simple.
What's up?
He's pretty simple.
Oh, is that why?
I can only assume like he's solid and he's pretty simple.
Okay.
That's my guess.
Who's the worst? Oh, Panda. Well.
Not worst. It's picked.
And Kuma's way up there. Kuma over Nina? That's wild.
I like that baby girl's second to last. And then Lee's almost at the middle spot.
Oh, Steve's right there with you. Whoa. All three of mine are back-to-back. We have Steve at 2.2, almost 3%, 2.94. Lily behind him with 2.76. And then Lars has 2.55. Crazy. And this is as of... Oh, this is recent, though. This is like 4 days. Yeah, okay. And it released. This is
the only top 10,000 theme users, apparently.
Oh, then we should wait on this, because this is... The hardcore, I guess, fighting game people are in here picking. Give it time, you know, for the casuals to get some time in, I guess, right? Because I don't know, for me, that don't look like... I can see King being popular. I mean, everything he does is so satisfying. Victor, I see him up there, too. Yeah, and Victor being up there, I can see that, because his combos are fun to watch. And he's just got, you know, blades... Guns, like he's got it all. And Dragunov, we don't got to talk about that. We know his swag. Easily. Yeah. Easily. And are you still sticking with Yakuza and Reyna? Yakuza? Oh my god, Kazuya is what I wanted to say. Yeah, the whole you playing as the whole Yakuza, Randall? Or?
Yeah.
He's playing as all every single member of the Yakuza.
Every round where he loses, the next round is a different person.
Yeah, from the Yakuza. My fault. Okay. It's Kazuya. You still picking Kazuya and Reyna? Nobody new? Yeah. You like, okay.
Well, Reyna's new. So.
I'm sorry, like from that. Because Brian gave me, you know, three slots to fill. I was going to ask, who's going to be your third slot?
Probably Jen.
Oh, that makes sense. And Brian, you said yours is Leah.
Lee, Zafina, and probably Asuka.
Oh, okay.
She was fun.
Born of the Air, I think Miguel. I'm just kidding. I'm sure they will over time. I mean, you know how much time it was between 7 and 8, so they have plenty of time to add more.
He was a launch character, though.
I know. But was he new to 7? No, right?
I don't think so.
Okay.
That could be wrong, but I don't think so.
That's wild.
I'm just waiting for him. I make this joke with friends. Whichever game puts a Dominican character in first, I'm going to buy them, and regardless for nationality's sake, I'm going to main them.
Oh, snap. Even if it's like a boring character?
Okay. My commentary would make it enjoyable.
Okay. Even if it's like a style you hate playing as?
If it's a rushdown fucking... The rushdown character, guess what? We're rushing now.
Okay.
The hell's zoning?
You're zoning with how fast you're full pass. Full pass. Sorry, I was just coughing up my old age. What was I going to say? That's all I got on Tekken. I do want to talk about a 3.5 hour... How long is this fucking movie? Hold on. Double check. I want to be accurate before
I start. It sounds like you don't give a shit about the movie.
Saturday morning, because I needed to make sure I sat through this 3 hours and 26 minute movie. Thank you, Mr. Scorsese, for Killers of the Flower Moon.
That sounds very familiar. That's the one with
Leo and Lily Gladstone. Leonardo DiCaprio and Lily Gladstone.
The name sounds familiar, so I'm looking.
It's the first time I've seen her, I think.
She looks familiar.
Yeah, looking at the stuff that she's known for, I've only seen her in this, in Killers of the Flower Moon. And if I scroll down to anything else... Yep, that's all that I've seen. Anywho. Let me go back, sorry. It takes place in the 1920s. That's when the movie starts. But it spans across... Bless you.
But thank you.
Spans across, I think, 2 decades? I think 1940 or something. Anywho, the Native Americans got land with, you know, that has producing oil. So, excuse me. I think they're called Osage. Anywho, they have huge land there. They make deals with Americans there to, you know, for cash sake. And anyway, then people of the Native Americans are dying. You quickly find out that the Americans are, like, you know, getting chummy with the ladies of said land, like Osage clan, just so they could inherit the land. Excuse me. We start questioning if that is why they're together. Like, they, you know, show interest in each other, things like that, get in love, and then one by one, more and more Native Americans start to die, and then that's when, like, the movie starts. Ernest is a guy who, Leonardo DiCaprio's character, Ernest is recently off of he was in war. He was the cook in war. I forgot what war. 1920s. I mean, you can figure it out. gets sent back, and then he goes to his uncle, who was played by Robert De Niro, and he gives him a job just to drive, you know, to drive, because he has, like, some injury that he can't lift heavy objects because, you know, war, like, in his gut. So he has to, like, wear something on his gut to keep his stuff there, things like that. And yeah, he starts driving Lily Gladstone's character with Molly Burkhart. Or I'm sorry, Molly. She becomes Burkhart because spoilers, they get married. Don't worry, that's probably within the first hour of this 3.5 hours movie. And then the events start to transpire. I don't want to spoil it, because it's like, well, what happens to them? Things, what happened with, you know, the dying Native Americans? And, you know, that's mostly it. Like, now you just start lit. Scorsese made a 3.5 hours of what happened to these people's lives up until, how did it end again? Oh, I remember now. Until it ends, right? And you gotta keep in mind, it's 1920, so, like, there's people, like, getting sick because of diabetes. And they're like, oh, shit, diabetes, that's the killer, right? And you're like, nowadays, that would be a shot, and we're good to go, right? So they're dealing with, like, stuff with, like, if you cough too hard, you're dead, right? And, yeah, Molly's character's from, like, a family of, like, 4 or 5 sisters, right? I forgot if it was 5 or 6. And a bunch of dudes are just trying to, you know, get chummy with them so they can... What you're thinking as an audience member is, like, they want to get chummy so they can, you know, get married. And then if something were to happen to them, they get rights to the land because there's money in the land, right? What is this, Randall? Oh, that's tech and stuff. I'm running into that a lot today. It's not capturing. There we go. I just have to keep this open and not reference anything else. Anyway. I don't know. The acting was fantastic. Like, to be expected. Leo, the heavyweight there. We have Jesse Plemons in there. You've seen him from, like, Breaking Bad and other stuff. Scott Shepard's in it. De Niro's in it. Lily's in there. Did great. I was expecting Lily to have more on-screen time. Because I thought it was about, you know, mainly about Native Americans and... what happened on the land, but it was kind of a little focused on Ernest's character. And Leo does a good job of portraying Ernest, because he really seemed like he loves this girl, but his uncle in the back, spoilers, his uncle De Niro is the one trying to get, you know, cash, money, make deals so that, you know, his empire continues to grow, so he wants the land, things like that. So DiCaprio's character is like, he's like a simple dude, so he's being torn by, like, hey, my uncle's giving me the, you know, my uncle took me in after the war, gave me a job, things like that, but he actually likes this girl, so it's like, what's the best options here? So he's making decisions like that, and then you have 3.5 hours of him just not getting it, right? Like, not getting what's happening, and, like, standing, like, it's hard to watch 3.5 hours of just this dude not just speaking out, right? So you're just, like, watching him make the wrong decision over and over again. And that, for 3.5 hours, that's too long, right? By the end of it, when it comes time for his arc to be like, oh, did he redeem himself? No, right? By the end of it, you're just hoping everything is okay with everybody else, but not the people involved. You don't care about the killers of the Flower Moon, right? Which is a problem. Because it's not like Red Dead Redemption, where it's like, there's so much gray area, you can find things to like, right? Here's like, by second hour, you're like, fam, are we done yet? Like, we get it. They're terrible. Are they going to get their comeuppance, or what's happening? And again, I'm not going to spoil it to see if they do or not, but if you want to invest 3.5 hours, it may pay off for you. And I keep mentioning the runtime because it matters to me. A film should, if you're spending 3.5 hours on one film and one sit down, you got to have a crazy payoff by the end of it. And I just did not get that payoff. I'm like, oh, there's some great moments in the movie. Shot great. Acting was fantastic. that's all I got to say. While I was watching it, by two and a half hours in, I would have liked to seen the story from the eyes of the FBI agents that get involved later, because Lily, the lady who plays Molly, finds a way to get the FBI involved to, you know, start investigating why all these people are dying in the town with, like, no investigation and stuff. And then once they hit the scene and start asking people, and it became like a detective kind of thing, but you as the audience already know what's happening. So you're just waiting for them to catch up to what's happening. And also, you know, get the bad guys, where it would have been cool. I wonder what it would have been like if we just follow the FBI's getting to, you know, the Osage land and trying to figure shit out. So, I mean, and again, we're mentioning the runtime again. For 3.5 hours, I cannot tell people to go watch this. If you got 3.5 hours to spend, this is like a one-time watch. I don't think I'll ever watch this movie again. Not in a bad way. Again, the acting was great. A lot. It's just the pacing is so slow with no pace. Like if you have a slow paced movie, there should be still enough to keep you wanting to keep going. By like hour and a half, I'm like, what are we doing, bro? Like what's the end game here? But I mean, you know, that's just my take there. It's hard to recommend the general public to watch it, but I mean, again, you're a fan of Scorsese, fan of Leo, fan of De Niro. Or if you want to know a little bit more about the subject matter, like I didn't know there's some stuff that you learn about Native American stuff in this movie that I did not know about in terms of like tradition and stuff like that. And I'm like, okay, it's informative, educational. You get to see how badly they were treated and things like that. I don't know. It has high moments, really high moments. It's just, it's in that long ass runtime. And
is it based on a true story?
Good question. Is The Killers of the Flower Moon based on a true story? Yeah, no such woman married to a white man, Ernest Burke. Because of the story behind the Osage family. I guess it's based off of reality, from what everyone is saying. Oh, no. Killers of the Flower Moon follows the true story of Molly Burkhart, an Osage woman married to a white man, Ernest Burkhart. Molly's large family owned multiple property. Molly's large family owned multiple properties in the Osage Reservation, and they were thriving off the profits generated from their mineral rights. That's kind of to set the stage of what's going on. And that's when all the sus planning and scheming from De Niro's character and slash family slash empire starts. Because they're trying to get, you know, all the cash for the land. Because there's a bunch of oil everywhere. There's like multiple different oil companies in their land. Which is why the Native Americans became rich at that time, I guess. So again, educationally, excellent view. Because you learn a lot, right? But Valentine's name's coming, bro. I'm gonna go check out a movie with my gal. This is not that, right? It's not a quick in. Hey, this is a cute movie. You gotta sit on it. And sit on it? Sit through it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like, Valentine's Day, you gotta sit on it? God damn. Oh, shit. That's easy. I don't know. That's it. It sounds like a more negative review. I had a great time with it. It's just the longer it took, I'm like, I need to get out of this, right? Damn, it's even talking about it, Brian's like, can we end this already? That yawn. That's all I had to say. Did you guys watch, Randall, did you watch Killers of the Flower Moon?
Did I watch what?
Killers of the Flower Moon. The movie I'm talking about. No? Okay. I don't know if you already saw it or
Flower Moon.
You said you never heard of it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know about this movie.
Yeah,
I know it was 3 hours though.
Yeah, I've been talking about it for the past 5 minutes. What are you talking about?
No, man. I mean, I was listening to you, but I'm saying like I didn't realize this was the movie that you was talking about.
Yeah, it's a 3.5. So I don't know. That's all I got to say about it. I don't know if that's a good or bad.
Interesting, but I mean, I naturally deterred from it because it was Western.
It's the 1920s. I mean, in that time period, everything's, you know, Western at that point. And I guess, but they had cars. This is like right after they were, they discovered oil and made automobiles and stuff, so. Like, there's still vehicles. I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio called his car his bucket. And I'm going to call that my car that now.
Bucket.
Yeah, it's like a deep southern.
Bucket.
Yeah, his bucket.
His bucket.
I gave you a ride on my bucket. I'm going to call that's what my Ford Fusion is now. A bucket.
Bucket.
There is a lot of good shots for Brian in his folder of guns and funny stuff with guns happening. It's funny in a dark way. That's about it.
I need to reorganize it. Some stuff I haven't added to the folder yet.
I'm going to spoil this one because it happens like literally a couple minutes in the movie. So they're going through like a little montage of like the Native American women who like passed or something. And it would be like, oh, had this, no investigation. Suicide, no investigation. Like just cut in between the events. And then there was one where it was showing us why there was no investigation. It was a lady going outside, right, with her baby. And she's about to, she puts it in the carriage, right? But she's in front of a building with a window open with like, you know, like drapes or something. And a man sticks his hand out with a gun and shoots her, right? And then comes out, grabs the baby, and walks inside. But as she's putting the baby in, you just see this gun come out of the blinds and then shoots her.
I was expecting it. I thought it was going to shoot the baby as she put it down.
That's what we thought when we were watching. We're like, there's no way this man's going to kill the, because he shot her and then walked right up to the carriage. And I'm like, he's not about to revolver this child, right? And he didn't. He just picked up the kid and went inside. And I'm like, these people are wild, bro. And I don't know why. It's just, there's a couple seconds of just the gun coming out and I just laughed. Because I'm like, this is JoJo if it were real life. Just a revolver gun coming out of the window. Like, this is insane. This is a cartoon. But that's it. I'll end it on that happy note? Funny note. Dark funny note.
Just for me, I need you to rewatch it just to make that a GIF that I can use.
Oh, okay. I should be able to do that. Speaking of which, you remember how I had that plan to edit like the Fae 5 stuff, especially like the music? And then Universal Media Group decided to pull all of the fucking music off of TikTok. So I'm like, sick. So if I post this, they're probably going to flag my stuff because it's going to have their music in it. So I don't know how I'm going to edit that together. It might just be with images of said album and stuff. Before, I wanted to do like quick cuts, like, oh, number 5 was this, and then play like a snippet and then do that. And then I'm like, well, back to the drawing board.
Well, it's just for TikTok, though.
Yeah, but YouTube already.
YouTube short.
YouTube is going to flag me because there's music in it. I had a TikTok because you could just upload the music and it'll be fine. Like, they haven't enforced it the way YouTube does, if that makes sense. I could try it. I guess I'll try to see if YouTube gives me a hard time.
SWAT won't come through your window, right? They'll give you a warning.
It'll just
take the video down.
They'll just take it down until I dispute it or something. And that, you know. So then,
there you go. Do it on both, freak.
Damn. Chill. That's all I gotta say about the Killers of the Flower Moon. Did you guys watch anything?
No. I want to watch
Mr. and Mrs. Smith,
Maestro. Yeah, I want to watch what's it called, the John Batiste thing that I mentioned, American Symphony.
Is Maestro in theaters only right now, or is it out in digital? Asking for friends.
I don't even know what's out in the theater. I didn't know that movie was out.
What, Killers of the Flower Moon came out late last year. It's just it came out in digital. Like in December, and I just every time it came out maybe what, October? Anthony, you were right on the page. Came out when? Let me see. Yeah, October 20th in theaters. And then by like late December, it came out on digital. And I'm like, I gotta watch this. And every time I highlighted the movie and I saw that runtime, I'm like, I would
it's
look
at a Netflix movie, Maestro.
Oh, it is. Then, if that's the case, then yeah, for my friends, I might be able to. Oh yeah, it is.
Oh, so it's American Symphony.
Gotcha. I'll let my friends know you want to see that. Cool. Matt Bomer's in it. Sick.
I'm in it.
You are? Really?
Yeah.
Apparently, your movie's getting a lot of
American Fiction.
Yeah, so I mean my friends grabbed that and they're letting me borrow that.
I want to watch just because I might feel different about it, like seeing it instead of being in it.
Yeah, it's a different experience, you know, being in the movie the and then, like, watch. Yeah, the editing, the score, the cuts, the color grading, right?
Like, I didn't think I was that passionate in the Batman, and then I saw it, and then, like, yeah, I really went. I was in my bag in that scene.
The scene where you yelled at him, "Open your eyes!" You mm-hmm. had something going on in your personal life that day because you took it out on poor old Cobblepot, bro.
It was kind of like method acting because right before they said end scene, like an eyelash was in it, and I kept closing it, so it was more so me talking to me. But they already started recording.
I see, I see. So you just said, "Open your eyes!"
Yeah, I'll set up with it.
Cool, cool. All right, cool. Maestro, this is out. I did want to check this out too. We'll see. This is the problem is all the movies and TV show stuff has been falling through the wayside because gaming, bro. I've been gaming more. That the itch is back. So, Reno, did you watch anything? Because my Brian just told me things he wants to watch.
Did you guys see the trailer for Avatar?
The third one?
The live action one on Netflix.
When you say Avatar, you mean blue people or on?
Okay, you talking about Airbender. The Airbender. I thought, I don't know why I got hyped. Like, I really enjoyed the second one. I thought you were talking about Avatar, Pandora Avatar.
Nah.
My fault. Yeah, I did. I
haven't seen the second one.
I mean, it looks great and it's easy to follow. The story's not difficult to follow. I recommend it for a good time. It's a lengthy one.
I said the trailer for the live action one.
I understand, but Brian was talking about Brian was saying he didn't see Way of Water, and I'm telling him yeah. But I did see the trailer for the live action The Last Airbender Avatar. From that trailer I'm hyped. It looks like they're keeping close and the casting looks good.
Yeah, everyone is saying that the casting that they're doing is like spot on.
Yeah, like they're doing a really good job with casting, and from the trailer, it looks like it's gonna pop. It looks like they're sticking with the story. They're not changing big plot points, but that's just the trailer. So,
I want to see Iroh.
They're killing it. I'm not gonna spoil it for you, but
do they show all the kids or is it mm-hmm. just they showed Toph?
Ooh, no, they showed the first Toph? Three because I think she comes into like the second book or something, right? Or third book.
It's when they start. I think it's when. The third one, because when he starts learning earthbending,
yeah. So I think this first season is going to be the first book, right?
I don't know.
Wait,
it's a show or it's a movie?
It's a show. If I'm not mistaken. Randall, it's a show, right?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, yeah. So they're probably going to break it up into the different books. I would hope so. Unless it's going to be like two seasons for one book, and that's going to be a lengthy-ass show. It looks good, right? Like, the trailer looked good.
Like, it looks like a movie.
So I'm positively
book two.
The second book is when Toph is introduced. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you probably have to wait for next season.
I forget how I'm upset because she's my favorite, and I forget if it's pronounced Toph or Toph. I think it's Toph.
It might be Toph. Toph sounds like familiar, like what I remember hearing in the show. But yeah, I saw that trailer, and I'm more than cautiously optimistic. Like, I'm just optimistic about it. That's the word I was looking for. I don't know why before I was just losing all the words in my mind.
You're crazy.
For real. I'm digging it. And Brian, you know the name of the new Deadpool movie, right?
No.
Oh, well, you're going to find out. It's Deadpool and Wolverine.
Oh, okay.
Just to let you know, because I know you're like, I don't want spoilers from trailer. No, we only had three. Like, there were speculations on what was going to be called.
I'm talking about Brian. He knew that Wolverine was going to be in.
Okay.
No, we're asking, Brian.
Oh, I assumed because they did that one, I guess, reveal in his living room or whatever.
Oh, that's true. You're right. I remember now. That small trailer when he was, like, in his house. He'd be like, yeah, I'm going to be in it. Cool.
I didn't know it was called that, though.
Yeah, the trailer came out during the Super Bowl, so we got a lot of scenes in it. But we're not trying to spoil it for you, bro. We're just going to know it's out. They gave us a date. It's July 26th, I think. So, summer blockbuster easily. And Randall, is this the only Marvel movie coming out this year?
That I'm aware of.
Then, I mean, that makes sense why it's right stuck dead in the middle of the summer. They're going to make a lot of cash. Good for Deadpool and Ryan.
I watched that Hunger Games movie.
Oh, I've been having on my backlog. Is it worth watching?
You got quite the backlog.
I told you, gaming is taking priority. So, like, all my backlog is... I still haven't seen Turismo.
Yeah, I know that.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, I just put on something if I need to, you know, spend time. And I'm like, all right, cool. This came on. That's why I watched Ferrari. That's why I watched Killers of the Flower Moon. I'm like, 3.5 hours. Let me just get this shit over with. How's Hunger Games? Standalone. Like, don't compare it to the three original movies. Like, if fresh, you don't know anything about Hunger Games, it's a prequel, right?
Yes, it's about President Snow before you became President Snow.
Oh, okay. So it's like a rise to power story.
Without comparing it to the other movies.
Yeah, can you recommend watching this without... Because I'm sure you like the other ones, right?
They're all right.
Oh, okay. Then just go ahead. Just give us your free reign thoughts.
I mean, I love the story because I read the books, but I mainly was watching it because... Well, I initially watched it because I thought it had common sense to like make it like the books, but there was some stuff that was off, and it wasn't as dramatic as it was in the books. And also because Jennifer Lawrence was in it. But, I don't know. Viola Davis was in it.
She kills, bro. I'm sure she was probably doing really good in it, right? She kills people. She kills.
She was practically the antagonist.
Oh, okay. Did she steal the show? Or was there anybody else? Did she steal the show? Was there anybody else out there?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Good on her, though.
Visually, it looked good. It was an interesting take because it's like, this is the beginning of the Hunger Games. So a lot of this stuff that we know of hasn't happened yet. So you know how like the Hunger Games we're aware of is like an arena where it's like you got to find each other and all that stuff like that. And you can hide in the forest or on an island somewhere or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Well, the initial Hunger Games were like in our arena, like a Coliseum.
Oh,
shit. So there was no hiding.
Oh, so you just, they say go and it's you just start. A giant
circle and you just got to kill each other.
So those ended up quickly then.
Yeah, in most cases, but I mean, not spoiling anything, something happens that makes it less, makes it less of a circle. Like it, some things happen and you have more options now.
I see.
Also, they use the Hunger Games that we know, the game makers intervene. Like they come up with all these traps and stuff like that or whatever. Well, they didn't really do that much in the beginning. Okay. It was just more like they would give the contenders weapons and then they would, you know, fight to the death. And then if it like, oh, this is something else that was different, was like the Hunger Games went on for days. So...
Well, yeah, and the ones we know?
In the new ones, or in the initial, they didn't, obviously, because it was like an arena.
It's a show. Yeah, they...
But depending on, I guess, the situation, it may determine whether or not how long the thing lasts. And, again, you know how, like, people can send them like gifts like water and bread and stuff like that or whatever.
Okay.
Well, they show the beginning of this, like how the idea came about, mm-hmm. how they started to implement it into the Hunger Games, and it was broken. It's like anything that's newly developed is usually kind of broken.
They have plot holes, like not plot holes. They have like ways to cheese it.
No, what I mean by broken, I mean like anytime you introduce new technology. So let's say, for example, you say, we're going to introduce this new technology where we can send the tributes food.
A care package or something.
By way of some sort of drone or whatever. Okay. Well, because this was a new idea, they hadn't calibrated the drones. So whenever someone would send a tribute, a glass of water or something like that for them, the drones would just come flying in real fast, almost like a missile or something like that.
To the person?
Yeah, directly to the person. So they couldn't even, it didn't even, slow down so they can grab the water. It would just come full speed at them.
And just crash right into it?
Yeah. So it was more like them just dodging out of the way before they could, get hit by this thing. So, that was that. And, I don't know how to.
I got questions for you then, if you want to, so you can make it easier to elaborate.
Yeah.
Is it more action based or is it more character driven? Like you're saying there's less stuff happening in the battlefield because it's just one big circle. So do they focus more on tension or?
I would say it's more tension, but there's stuff that happens outside of the games that's action based.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's more tension. It's more character driven and character development and trying to get people to, I guess, feel for the characters.
So it's not it's not trying to be a Wick clone where it's check out this one take action sequence in the middle of the battle. No. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool, cool, cool. How about politicking? Because I know the first couple Hunger Games had hey, what's happening in the battle royale or whatever. And then they would cut to the bigwigs politicking, trying to make moves. Yeah,
none of that stuff is really
in this one. Oh, okay.
They might have conversations about it in the background, but it's not really in your face. It's mostly about the tributes, why the Hunger Games exists, and it was terrible, man. It's it shows you the how things changed over the years. So how the Hunger Games we know is someone gets picked and then they from their district and then they get put on a train and this train is obviously from the capital. So the train looks really nice, it's shiny and it has the best furniture, has all this lavish food, more food than you can eat at one time. Then you get put into all these really beautiful, subjectively beautiful clothes. You get really dolled up and stuff like that. But in the initial Hunger Games, it wasn't like that. You get picked up from your district, thrown inside a truck and put on this train, but the train looked like it was something that you will haul equipment,
cattle
or industrial stuff.
So they glamorize
it. It wasn't lavish at all.
Okay.
And then get this. So they don't, when they get to the destination of the capital, they don't get off the train. I don't even know how they did it, but they somehow backed the train up into this hole and opened up the door. And then because the decline that the vehicle was on, they end up just falling out of it. Into a cage like you would see at a museum. So they was looked at as animals.
And then they're just
they were put in a cage like a museum, like if they were animals, and then people would come and look at them as if they were human or whatever. It was stupid.
Oh, okay.
So that was different.
It felt more barbaric.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see what you mean. We're in the new the current time ones, I guess, it was celebrity this, celebrity that. Oh, this is our representative for this district. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I see what you mean. They didn't even have, in the later on in the years, as you know, people would volunteer
mm-hmm.
districts 1 and 2, but they were known as careers because they didn't have to go. They just, it was an honor for them to participate.
Well, because the powers that be made it a glamour thing that people should strive for. So that's why people trained and then volunteered for their district or whatever. That's weird, dude. Okay. So it's a darker tone then.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, it sounds like I'm going to check it out. That sounds okay.
I mean, some little girl was in there, man. I'm wow.
Like a young girl?
Like really little, man.
like 5 years, like 6 year old,
like there's no way she can survive this.
Like Rue from the original three,
smaller than Rue,
more younger than Rue,
younger than Rue.
Oh wow,
and that was one of the arguments between people in the movie. Was like, how could we do this when these are children?
Yeah, they can't fend for themselves against grown adults. Like,
well, they're not adults; they're still kids.
Oh, okay.
They're like,
they're teenagers, probably. Teenagers, yeah, the older. And if you get some
teenagers going up against
a kid,
8 year old or 6 year old, like, come on, man.
Especially if it's like some dude who's been working out, right? Like some big teenage dude.
And you could tell she was like really young because she was like, she had no idea what to do. She was just like walking around.
Cause it's a kid that's innocent. Like, what does she know about killing things to survive? That's wild. That sounds like a good, I mean, you're selling me on it. I don't know if you ended up enjoying it or not, but it sounds like a good watch.
It's all right.
Well, hold on. Let me check the runtime. Because after Killers of the Flower Moon, right? Hold on.
I think it's less than 2 hours.
Less than 2 hours? You're selling me more?
Wait, no, I might be wrong. No, I'm wrong. I think it is like 3 hours long.
Oh, no, 2.5. It's about normal length. 2.5 is kind of like two and a half is like average now.
It does something that you normally say is it overstated its welcome.
Damn it, that's not what I wanted to hear. Now I'm not, I don't want to watch. I hate when they do that,
dude. Like I almost never say that.
Yeah.
When I'm reviewing movies. But yeah, it definitely overstated its welcome. It was like it was at one point in the movie where I thought it was the end, and then I looked at
the progress bar.
And that jump was like halfway. I'm like, what?
Yeah, that happened.
What is left?
That's what I did for
Killers. It's over.
I did the same thing for Killers of the Flower Moon. I'm like, yo, this has to be almost over. I still had 1 hour and 10 minutes. And I'm like, what are we doing?
Yeah. No, man. The last part literally was pointless.
Oh, that's
unfortunate. You could have covered that in a conversation or, I don't know, a montage or something.
Is it because they got artsy with it and they're doing like crazy slow shots or like?
No, it was nothing slow, no slow motion, no nothing. It was just all this extra stuff that was just
fluff.
I don't even know what you would call it. It just seemed pointless because it didn't get. I guess for me, the reason why I feel like it was for nothing was because after what they showed, you didn't get a definitive answer at the end of it.
The payoff.
It's kind of like, for example, if I said, okay, the last quarter or the last act of this movie, Brian trained like intensely every day.
Okay.
It was a training montage. They showed him dieting. They showed him making sacrifices. He like, you know, isolated himself to train. And then fight day was coming up, and then fight day came up, and then that's how they ended the movie.
So it's like ding, 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 cut to credits.
Like it's like he's in a ring, you hear the bell ring, you see him and the other dude approach each other, and then fade to black. And it's like, I watched all of this just to not know what happens.
Oh, that's a foul mood. That's a foul move, sorry, because it's not a TV show. So why are you crafting this movie so it ends in cliffhanger? That's so wild.
It's true, dude. They should have just made it a show. The original three.
Oh. Well, like, yeah, like you mentioned, you guys read the books or some, and there's probably a lot more content that didn't hit the big screen, so it would have lived perfectly nice on TV. Because they can give it like an entire... favorite
character, boring as fuck.
Oh.
Who, Finnick?
No, the girl that gets nude in the elevator.
Oh.
She's like a, I don't think a good arc, that. But she starts, like in the book, she's more of like a Juri from Street Fighter.
Uh-huh.
And she has like a growing up arc that I liked her development.
Oh, okay. She went from like, okay. I don't remember her. Again, it's been so long since I've seen the Hunger Games.
I forget her name though. Yeah, like the P or something? Petra or something?
No.
I thought that was the dude. I thought Petra was a dude.
Hunger Games.
PETA was the dude.
Yeah. PETA.
PETA.
Hunger Games.
When was he added?
That gets nude in elevator.
All right, bro.
Joanna Mason.
Is the character name or the actress name?
The character's name.
Was she in the first one or in the second one?
She was addicted to morphine.
I'm trying to look her up on here, but I don't see her.
Yeah, I remember her. She was like super violent too.
Oh, Jenna Malone is the actress's name. She was in Sucker Punch, okay. And Batman versus Superman. I don't remember her in that. The Neon Demon. Haven't seen that either.
The actress looks familiar.
She was in Donnie Darko. That might be where you saw her, bro. Donnie Darko. Or Sucker Punch, because she was in Sucker Punch as well.
I remember Sucker.
What's up?
I said I remember Sucker Punch. Like, by that, I don't remember. I know I've seen Donnie Darko. I don't know any. I don't remember anything about that movie.
Oh, okay.
Besides, like, there's like a bunny or something, and it's Jake Gyllenhaal.
You got it.
Right?
Yeah. You got it. That's all you needed really to know. There's a bunny in it and Gyllenhaal's in it.
I don't remember a bridge.
Yeah, there. I don't recall there being a bridge in that, but random. I mean, you can fact check.
And what?
Donnie Darko.
I've never seen it.
Oh, you should. I mean, that's a classic when you can for Throwback Thursday movie night. You know what I'm saying? Go watch Donnie Darko. It's an interesting film. What?
I get uncomfortable with you. Don't people say it's like a more dark movie?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, there's no bridges. Think of a movie with no bridges.
That's pretty dark. Want to hear the overview, Randall? See if you're interested. Okay.
No. Yes. I mean, looking at this evil looking bunny, it tells me enough.
That's what I'm saying. You might like it, though. It's, you know.
I don't think I get that in my head.
Jake Gyllenhaal's in it, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We got Drew Barrymore, Jake Gyllenhaal, the lady you just mentioned, that was Jenna Malone, Mary McDonald, Maggie Gyllenhaal. The siblings are in the same movie, you know. There's a lot of good stuff.
I'd have to rewatch it because I just remember a bunny and Jake Gyllenhaal. That's a distinct lack of bridge.
Yeah, that's where I'll leave it at then. If you guys are going to rewatch it, it was cool. I don't know if it ages well because it's been so long since I've seen it, but that's it. Okay. So it's not, I mean, I might have to check it out. I kind of liked a little bit of what you were talking about for The Hunger Games, so I might just check it out and see what I think. Especially since it's pretty different than the modern Hunger Games, I guess. We can name it that. And you said Viola Davis kills it. I like watching Viola Davis act.
Yeah, she's disturbing because
she has to play like that maniacal character.
Something's wrong with her skin.
Uh huh.
And she has like one blue eyeball. Like, it's weird.
And it's like bright blue, like a prosthetic.
Yeah, like bright blue, like as if she was white.
Well, I've seen that in dogs. Like one eye color can be the other color. Isn't that happening for humans too? Like, can't you have
humans
like
have them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not to this extreme. I'm used to the ones that you know you see in real life. But this was like,
it looked like she had superpowers blue. Like it was like bright blue.
Hold up.
Did you see like a figure behind her and she ever whisper the word persona?
I'm just gonna look it up. No. I think Brad was looking it up. Hunger Games Viola Davis.
I'm expecting like a glowing blue, like Super Saiyan eye.
Oh no, it is very blue. Oh, but it
like
looks
glowing?
No, it just
not
looks like
glowing, but it's like in the movie, it pops out every time she's talking.
Like out of her head?
Not literally, but it's just like it's an attention grabber.
Oh, that looks weird.
Yeah.
Mine does that look. I'm just kidding.
What the hell? Yeah, I don't see it. Here it is. Did you start share a picture of it, Randall, or no?
Oh, I thought you saw it already.
Oh, Brian's already saw it? It's for Brian.
No, yeah. I thought you said you
saw it. I saw it.
Oh, well, I put it on there anyway.
It's the same picture I saw.
Okay, cool.
I think the makeup also makes it look weird. Like it's a combination.
Oh, right? My God. You said you did the accent, Brian? I sent you a TikTok you need to listen to, unless you already reacted to it.
I don't know.
Anywho. Okay. I'm kind of still on it. I'm a little interested in watching it. If that's all we got, Randall, we need to talk to you about enlisting for Super Earth.
What?
For Super Earth.
What is that?
Don't worry, I got the Earth. I have the Super. Video for you.
You can send them the intro?
Yeah. Intro cut. Intro cinematic. Hold on. I think this is it.
He's pretty.
Thanks.
Here you go, Randall. Please don't play it on your... Don't play it so I can hear it, pretty much. So if I can't play it right now. Your phone.
Oh.
And mute your mic.
Is this Helldivers?
Yeah. Why is Discord just doing crazy stuff? I'm like losing video footage here, like our cameras for a couple seconds. It's Helldivers, Randall. So like, if you haven't seen Helldivers, that'll be a nice introduction because you know what it is. It's pretty much...
I have.
I said the wrong thing before. I said Super Troopers before. It's supposed to be Starship Troopers. Thank you. It's pretty much what if they made a game of that, the sequel, and now it's in third person instead of like isometric.
So why are you trying to sell me on it?
Because it's out. We've been playing it over the weekend. It's fun.
Oh, it's multiplayer.
It's full. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Who's been playing?
What do you mean? Who's been playing?
We've been playing over the weekend.
Us as gamers as united. Like the more people need to be playing this. Like
you mean like you had a squad or something?
Yes, you can get a squad. But I'm letting you know. Money needs to be spent on this so people know. Hey, we want more of it, right?
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm like. Support it is what I'm telling you, right? Mm-hmm. But before I tell you to support it, like I mentioned, 4-player over the shoulder. You can play with your friends. On PS5 and PC, just crossplay. Sort of. They've had a weekend of server issues. Hopefully they'll fix that. Wow.
Y'all are not going to like this.
Who's y'all?
People that's on this podcast. I'm about to show you a picture.
Of what?
Of someone that we love very dearly, but he doesn't look as good as he normally looks.
What is that? Okay. So while you're doing that...
You was going to say, what does that mean?
Yeah, like, none of that means... That didn't mean anything. What you just said to me was sounds. Like, if you were making music, none of that had any substance besides, I'm going to show you something. You gave me no more information than what we started with. You're like, I'm going to show you something. What are you going to show me?
Yeah, I'm going to show you someone who doesn't look as good as he normally looks.
Okay, so you told me nothing, because I don't know who this person is, what he looked like before, and what he can possibly look like now.
Okay, well, when I show you the picture,
okay,
and you're going to know.
Well, while you're doing that, Helldivers.
Helldivers.
All right. Enlist for Super Earth. The story is as silly as it needs to be. It's Earth spreading democracy onto these other planets. That's their shtick, but you're pretty much defending from, like, alien AIs... Versus bugs. No, that's just Paul Rudd.
He looks so old right there. He never looks old.
I mean, it's time, Randall. Everyone has a breaking point. He probably hit his breaking point. You know? He's looking older now.
So it's good.
Yeah, I mean, he looks older, Randall, but he still looks way better than I'm going to look like at his age. How old is he?
Isn't he 70?
No.
Get the hell out, Brian.
I'm about to say he's definitely found the fountain of youth if he's 70.
He is 54.
Okay, that sound. If you were to say like 70 for real, like you're like, I'm not joking. I'd be like, then 100%. No,
54 decades. I'm sorry, I didn't finish.
Ah, then yeah, in 54 decades, I'm not gonna look like that. I'm gonna look more like the character from One Piece.
From One Piece.
Mm-hmm. There's like a character who's just bones.
Oh,
he's loading or sleeping. I don't know yet. I don't remember his name. I haven't met him yet while we're trying to do the One Piece stuff yet. So
I know his name, but because I've been told it, but I'm blanking. I haven't started watching it. I told my friend I'm not watching it until the anime, the manga ends.
Wait, doesn't One Piece have to do with pirates?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you're watching it.
He hasn't
said it out loud. I'm not watching.
Oh, okay.
I think you know a guy, man. Yeah, dude. Do you think you know a guy? Oh my goodness. So Helldivers 2, fantastic fun. You pretty much, like I mentioned, you're going to different planets that are inhabited by either killer bugs, androids. I forgot what the third one were. They might not have introduced the
bug third droids.
One. Bug droids, sure. And you have an arsenal of things you can use. You have like assault rifles, handguns. Then you get these things called stratagems, which are things you can use to call in more support. You can drop orbital strikes. You can ask for like heavy weapons, like you know, rocket, lasers, a supply backpack to help your teammates, you know, have ammo. Pretty tactical. What I did like is the range of difficulty. Like you start off at one, it goes from like 0 to like 9. And finding the balance of what you find challenging versus still fun is perfect. I think I'm at 4 is where I have the most fun and it's challenging still. 4 or 5-ish out of, I don't know what the max difficulty is, but that's where I'm at now. But yeah, the game will overwhelm you and it does not give a shit. Like, you are there to do complete missions. You're not there to keep shooting enemies to level up your gun XP or some shit. Like, you're there to just get them, dive into hell, get your shit done, and get the hell out, right? There's extraction times and stuff like that. You have to plan accordingly before you drop. The music, every time we drop for the mission, it swells up as your pods are coming out, and it's so fucking hype, all right? Every time for me. I love it so far. Holy shit. I will die on that hill. I don't know why it sounds so good. And then you can hear like the pods entering the breaking the atmosphere. What is it? Entering the atmosphere. So you hear the bass of and the it's just such a presentation. And then you just touch ground and your character slides up from the pod and it's go time, right? Like, get this shit done, get out, don't get killed, right? I don't know. The loop is there for me. I don't really give a shit about progressing. I just like going in there, shooting shit, getting shit done. There's friendly fire by default. There's no way to turn it off. You have to sort of think what you're doing. I mean, and accidents happen. Sometimes you throw a grenade, you don't tell your teammate. They're in blast radius. They die. We laugh. We call reinforcements to bring them back, and then you keep moving, right? Like, it's good. It's just cool shit like that. I don't know. It's just so fun for me. I don't, Brian, it's up to you to talk now, like the stuff you don't like, because I'm just going to keep gushing over it.
I'm enjoying it. I played far less than everyone else, I think. But I'm enjoying it. It's more the same. If you played the first one, it feels like more difficult because you don't know everything on screen because it's third person as opposed to isometric.
Yeah.
It's definitely difficult. And I don't know where you're swarmed and you're panicking. But if it's fun, the same things that people like about games like Lethal Company, things like that, versus you with some friends and shit's going not according to plan, but you're there for the fun part of it. This game encapsulates that. I think that's the right word.
It reminds me of our time yesterday when we played. Brian's first time playing, I think, was yesterday with me, and I think it was Gabs.
Mm-hmm.
Our first couple matches. Before you touch down on the planet, whatever you're going on, you get to pick where you want to land, right? And I asked them, like, do you guys want to go on areas where it's like, no, this is a dangerous spot, there's going to be people around, or a safe spot away from the objective? Like, the closer you land near of an objective, there's going to be enemies there, obviously, right? So then I'm like, you guys sure about it? And like, yeah, we can handle it. So we did the automatons, which is like the robot area plant, like the robot faction level, and land right in the heat of it. And Brian was, I think his words, like, why did Anthony, I think Brian said, why did Anthony land us in Terminator 3 or some shit? Because it was just a bunch of robot shit looking at us going, oh, y'all landed right here, just beelining towards us to kill us. And it's just red lights in the darkness just trying to shoot at us, and we're running for our lives. It was fantastic.
I'm on a fucking gray and red planet, running for my life with just a shotgun in a dream.
What the hell did
you... Exploded by a whole turret.
Brent, what the hell did you just send us?
So some dude, I'm not following him, but he was streaming on, I think it might have been TikTok. or maybe Instagram. I can't remember. I think it's TikTok.
This looks like TikTok.
But this is his background. Why he's streaming? Like, why?
I mean, it's funny.
The problem is.
Because why not?
All right, you say you don't see what the problem is?
I don't see what the problem is.
Okay.
You don't get cheered on by the boys while you're playing?
Yeah.
Not that kind of cheer.
Oh, you're missing out, Randall. That's what gives you bonus stats, bro.
That's real brotherhood.
What?
So that's real brotherhood right there.
I feel you. I don't know if I'm losing the video feed when I'm looking at Discord. I really gotta stop doing that.
Helldivers. Yeah, Helldivers is fun. It's just a nice meme of a time.
Is there a campaign?
Your stories is the campaign, Randall. The adventures you share with your teammates is the story. There's no story better than that. I can bet you right now, if I told them, hey, make a story for this game, it will not be better than what happens to you on a mission-by-mission thing. I guarantee it. There is zero way you can. There's, like, especially the fucking invisible bug that tries to sneak up on you and catch your booty when you're not looking.
What?
Yeah.
There's like you know how like that cloak effect you see in movies, so they're invisible, but it's a game, so you gotta know they're sort of invisible. Like, is that somebody?
Yeah.
So like yeah you'll be playing and then like retreating because you know you just killed like a butt and you have to reload and you have to run while you reload, otherwise you're gonna get fucking mauled, right? So you'll turn to run back and you'll see one of them like behind a rock going, oh fuck, I can't strike yet. And you're like, invisible guy, and everyone starts shooting this invisible thing and it freaks out and starts to run away. But if you don't pay attention to them, they'll come up and just start attacking you from the behind. So I'm like, your booty's exposed.
This is an NPC you're talking about.
Yeah, it's all NPCs. You don't fight other players.
Everyone, I think it was me, Anthony Gabs, maybe someone else, and they're running along. I'm behind. And it's just, if you hear a bug sound, a hit sound, a gun, and someone just say war, you would think you would turn around, right? I had to say like three fucking times for them to try to save me from this goddamn bug.
Jeez. Yeah, he just yelled war, and I'm like, what? Oh my god, it's great.
That's definitely a game you should have been recording, because you would have had like montage you could have done.
I know now to just have the replay on. I didn't even have the replay buffer on when we were playing, but now I know when I play that game with more than just myself, I need to have the replay buffer on. It's definitely clippable moments happen often, usually, especially at a higher difficulty, because it gets so crazy, dude. You start throwing bigger and bigger enemies at you and at a more frequent pace while you're trying to get objectives done. It's good stuff. And again, the music, it's like orchestral stuff, and it just... It's my favorite part. Dropping into whatever mission, I cannot wait to hear that, to see that sequence every time. The animation of, like, once you pick, like, your location, we're going here, and it's like, oh, hell pods ready. And they walk in, they fucking... Like, they lock in their feet on the bottom of the platform, if they slide down, and then the thing goes, and then you start picking where to land, and then the thing swells up every single time. I'm like, this is it, bro. Presentation is out there for that, for me. It's just sick. That's all I got. I don't know. Helldivers 2, go buy it. It's $40. This AAA game's coming out at $70 now. This is only $40.
It's a fun time.
And it's just a good time, dude. It's a game meant to just have fun, and you can tell by how silly it is. And the characters you can pick like different voice. Like if you want to be a girl, you just pick a girl voice or whatever, and same with the dude. The dude I have that I picked, like I have usually have like a large machine gun build, so I always walk around with like a large machine gun, so that if there's like a bunch of people, I can just support fire while people do shit. And if you hold down the fire button and get through like halfway of your like 250 mag round, he starts yelling and be like, democracy. Yeah, like it's so self-aware of how silly it is that it just makes more lines. Like the characters are just silly.
There's only one voice that I didn't fucking hate, and it was like the first lady one, so I just picked that voice.
Oh, okay. It's just a good fucking time. I may or may not just load it up after this fucking podcast call. So like to do at least one mission.
I won't, but I'm enjoying myself quite a bit. I'm glad too, because a lot of times when they make a sequel and they try something like drastically different, so from isometric to third person, is always like a worry.
Yeah.
with the exception of this game, I think Risk of Rain might be the only other one that I think for the better.
I agree. Like the Switch, like I love the first one. The isometric feel felt. It keeps everybody like in the same screen, so you can be like, "Oh, I know what's happening." But going to third person, like I'll tell you, the presentation, landing, and then just your guy comes up and it's like, "All right, you're playing Helldivers. You know all that crazy shit that happened in the first game. You're doing it, but from this perspective." Mm-hmm. And it's like, "Okay, we're in it. I like it feels it great."
More immersive.
It is. It sure is. Especially if you're like on a level that's like super foggy or something, and you're like, "We can't see shit." Because like you have to go take out like a spore tower or something that's causing the fog. Communication is key there, dude.
Especially just me and my ammo, my shotgun.
Yeah, that's all you got. It's you, your gun, and hopefully your teammates are nearby.
So hopefully they know what war means.
Yeah, you're stuck with me. You're not. I'm not gonna know what war means now. In the future, you know, going forward, Brian says war. I'm looking for your icon. Be like, where is he? Right. But at the time, I'm like, yeah, wow, who, yeah, what is it, goop? I was going to start singing a line.
For my life, the bug basically tongued me out. It literally launched me, and I'm shooting at that shit, yelling war.
That's
nothing good happens.
That's another great thing. You can, like, because in the first game, you can dive, right? And you're like, oh, okay, cool. You can just dive shit. Because it's third person, you can, like, dive off of cliffs and shoot in midair, and it'll ragdoll, and it's like, everything feels great. Like, if there's a big bug, and they call it, like, a charger. And after a while, it'll charge at you. But if you position yourself right and dodge to the side, you can dive to the side, land on your back, and just start shooting at the dude. And I'm like, everything just feels... It just feels fine. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I think I dove over Anthony once and shotgunned the bug.
What?
I think I dove over you once and shotgunned the bug.
Damn, that's cinematic right there. And I'm having a lot of good... I'm having a great time with this.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
And again, for $40. Not 60 or 70 like these other AAA games. Like, I'm only reiterating because these are the games we need to throw money at so we can let the people who get the money, hey, they like this, we need more of this, right? This is one of those games. Throw money at it. I say that without people actually playing it. You should play it, honestly, to see if you like it, but especially if you're going in there with like a squad of friends, you're gonna have a good time.
Is there split screen? I don't even know.
I'd have to look, but I don't think so. I think when they move to third person, since I'm in, split screen has become, you know, a more of a rarity.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's like a 2D indie game or something. But these bigger games, especially graphically intensive games, split screen is usually not common. And if it is, it's on, for some reason, they prioritize it on consoles. Look what happened to Borderlands. Like, Borderlands had split screen, but split screen wasn't available on PC for some reason. I have to look. That'd be pretty cool if there was split screen. But I doubt it. That's all I got, man. Unless you guys have anything else, I'm going to wrap up here.
I can go through two things quick. I listened to two albums today.
Ooh, which ones?
Listen to, hold on, the second I click and I read it, the second I find out what the fuck I'm clicking. I listened to Terrace Martin already had a little EP for this year.
Already? Called
Her Thoughts. I don't know if they're all covers, but six songs, 21 minutes. And there's two like jazz covers to songs that people know. Well, I know one. I know one song people know because it had to be a TikTok sound. And then the other one I know because I like the artist. I think he did one of those things where they just put an old ass song into an EP just to put it in an album.
Okay.
Because he's the intro song Snooze. I'm pretty sure I've heard somewhere before this year.
I've seen artists do that. Like, it's like an old single and then they just add it to like their new, even if it's like a
John
project.
Mayer,
yeah. Like
New Light.
Yeah. And they'll add it to a project later on. And I'm like, okay. It's better for me because I mean, you just loopholed away for me to talk about it that year.
Hey,
so.
Back-to-back favorite song in the Fave Five of the Year for song was because of that happened.
Yeah, so.
It's an easy listen. It's more older jazz than like the fusion stuff he was doing last year. The two songs he covered, he makes like a jazz cover to his Woe by Snow Allegra. I like his version.
Okay.
As much as the other one. And then Kill Bill, SZA.
Oh, okay.
Killed I think him. It does a good job.
Yeah, I mean,
her voice is replaced with like a saxophone. I think is
wasn't that snub too? Kill Bill was wasn't that one of the tracks nominated for a Grammy and it didn't win?
I don't even know, to be honest with you. I don't watch for what? I didn't get one. What am I gonna watch?
I mean, that's true.
I mean, for recommendations, like things that got nominated, you can use it like that.
That's what that's why I love award season. For stuff like that, for movie awards, TV awards, music awards, game awards, I love seeing what's getting nominated. So I'm like, oh, if I haven't played it, that's something I can add to my backlog.
Really, I should do that, but I think I need to be more cognizant of whenever they announce what's nominated and just start listening. But
facts.
Maybe for this year. But usually, I don't even care to watch or look at the results.
My favorite time is the nomination time. Like, who wins? Cool. Like, if there's one, I'm like, oh, they need to win. I'm like, heck yeah, the one I wanted to win won. But I'm always looking for nominations. I'm like, oh, might be new shit I can be put onto, you know?
It's an easy listen. I like Terrace Martin. I'm becoming quite the fan of him. The covers and the intro song are the ones that I hearted. The rest of them, it's not that they're bad. They're solid. Just the other one stood out to me. It's 21 minutes. Just play it. I recommend at least listening to it one time.
Okay.
And then the other album is Two Star and the Dream Police. The name of the artist is McGee. Years ago, Spotify recommended a song by him. And I was like, this shit goes crazy. I've even looped it like throughout it like for a whole day once. Uh-huh. And then they recommended. They told me this came out this year. So I'm like, fuck it. 12 songs, 33 minutes. Every song got a thumbs up.
Damn.
It's very abstractly experimental, and I guess you can say it's kind of R&B-ish, but it just sounds like an amalgamation of genres instead of just like one thing. It's a nice listen.
And it's multi-platform, right? It's not like just on YouTube?
Yeah, it's probably multi-platform.
Okay. Just to make sure, because I saw the YouTube link and I'm like, I gotta go check to see if this person's on Spotify.
Since I have YouTube Music, I can just send it.
I forgot until after I asked that question. I'm like, oh yeah, he does have YouTube Music. Okay, I'm definitely gonna listen to that R&B one then.
That's the best explanation I can give. Mix wise, it's very a Steve Lacy approach where it's not like mixed or like
mastered or something.
The way you want it to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very rough sounding. But
I kind of like that
the kind of music he's doing. If I think it's a nice choice.
Especially, is he indie?
To my knowledge.
Yeah. Then I mean, when it's indie, I'm cool with like mixes and stuff not sounding so perfect. Like you don't got the time or cash for that, right? Like, for mastering like that.
Yeah, I mean, depending on it's another expense for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
There's some places that you can, like, browser, you can just upload and pay, like, a little fee, and then it'll master for you, like, AI.
But it's automated? Yeah, I don't trust that yet.
And really what that does is, like, oh, how loud can I be on these platforms? All right, make sure we compress it so that it fits.
Oh.
That's all it really does. It's funny, that song I was mentioning that I heard came out in 2019, and the name of the song's Untitled.
I love it. My one pet peeve, stop doing that. To all the artists, I've seen that way too many times. It's like a track list. An album comes out, and a track's called Untitled. Figure out the title, then release it, fam. Like, oh my god, I don't know why that bugs me.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I don't know really how to explain it. It's something to if you like giving new things a chance, at least musically, things that won't really fit your palette, give it a shot. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
Nice. On that note, that is it. If you haven't yet, on Spotify, YouTube, whatever, make sure to search BriFM. Brian, your project is already out on all streaming platforms. Go give that a listen. It's your full name, right? It's just Brian De La Rosa for the artist, right?
Yeah.
Look up Brian De La Rosa and look up BriFM. Go check it out.
The name of the project's Hello World That Wave.
Thank you. I'm like, there's a name for it. Because there's BriFM on there. So that's why I'm like, I'm mixing names here. So go check that out. It should be on everything, right? So I think you just did once a DistroKid and it's on everything. Yeah.
Yeah. YouTube is just on my channel and I made a playlist of the songs that I put on the album. What I want to do, I don't know when, is just make a long play of it. It's like one video that's the entire album. Just put that on there.
That's easy. I mean, that's a.
It's easy because, I when I was touching up the mixes and everything, so it sounded like a cohesive thing, they're all on Pro Tools on the same session, so I can just bounce what I have, and I left markers, so I could just bounce the whole thing.
Yeah, that's an hour of video. That's nothing.
That'll be fun. It's actually like 53 minutes.
And you're just going to put the album logo, right, for the video? Yeah, that's not a huge lift.
I dropped an album, the bi-weekly releases are still a thing. This Wednesday, another song comes out.
Well, I mean, as of this recording, it's already out. As of this
recording, you already heard this week's. And it's in theme with Valentine's Day.
Yay.
It's just me growling in autotune.
I'm down. Growling happens during Valentine's Day. I'm not going to tell you why, but it happens.
You already told us. Sit on it.
Yeah, you sit on it. That's so wild to me, dude. That's it. Thank you guys for watching, listening. We'll be back next week. No. Actually, wait. Since we have an episode banked, yeah, we're not coming back next week because it's President's Day on Monday, so I'm not going to be doing the podcast.
I'm pretty sure I don't have it off. I don't really get nice things, but...
That would check, because you might have a 3-day weekend. so we won't be back next week. Yeah, I have President's Day off for my company, so we're not going to record that day, but we have one banked, so technically the listener is not going to miss a week. You know, the devoted 6 people that listen to this, I appreciate you.
600,000.
That's what I meant. 600,000, you know? Anywho, that is all. Thank you guys for watching, listening. We'll be back next week. And make sure to hell die for Super Earth. Bye.